Well, I have 1 o'clock. So good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the June 15th meeting of the Operations Committee of the University District of Columbia. At this time, hopefully you receive all of the materials required for the meeting. And at this time, we will have a roll call by Ms. Dorn.
Good afternoon. Dr. Webb.
Present.
Mr. Ethams. Mr. Gleason.
Present.
Dr. Jackson.
Present.
Mr. Lopez.
Here.
Great.
Madam Chair, your form.
Thank you so very much, and thanks to all the trustees and staff members of the university who have joined the meeting today. At this time, we'll have review of the minutes of the April 21st meeting. Are there any corrections and or additions? Dr. Jackson, I think you may have had a few. You're on mute.
One quick thing. I'm sorry. I'm here. I just was trying to get off mute.
Trustee Aikens just came on, so we have all of our committee members. Thank you all so very much. We have a full quorum. Full house. So we are now going to entertain any corrections and or additions to the minutes of April the 21st. Dr. Jackson, I think you have the floor.
Yes, thank you. I do apologize for not sending the corrections in writing to you, but I will get them there. There are several corrections that for the approval of the minutes. Do they go to the full board?
The minutes or... I'm not sure.
So underneath the approval of the minutes, it says the motion was approved to move to the full board by roll call vote. I'm not sure if the minutes actually moved to the full board.
No, I think that's, well, let me just say this. I think the implication is that what was approved by the motion moves to the full board.
Okay, but it says for the minute. The other thing that on page 3, if they can actually document the actual motion that was actually stated, and that goes for, in summary, for all the motions, if they can actually do that on page 4. I'm not sure if it says the board or if it should say the committee.
Okay.
I'd also like it documented that it wasn't the trustees but the chair who inquired about additional benefits as far as the T-Mobile. And once again, it says the underneath the approval of the lease, it says the board, but it should be the committee.
Okay.
And any time that we have the motion, if they can actually state the actual motion and to refer to the committee versus the board. And on the page 6, who made the motion to adjourn and who seconded the motion and did the motion carry.
Okay. Thank you so very much. Are there any other additions and or corrections to the minutes? Dr. Jackson, would you do us a favor and send those in writing and email so they can be corrected? Hearing no other corrections to the minutes, the chair will entertain a motion to accept the minutes as corrected. And for specificity in the minutes, let's repeat what the motion should be so they can capture that in the recording and writing of the minutes.
Fair enough?
Yes.
I move that we accept the minutes with the necessary corrections.
The minutes of the April 21st meeting.
I move that we accept the April 21st, 2026 minutes with the necessary correction.
Is there a second?
Okay.
And it's been moved and probably seconded that we accept the minutes of the April 21st meeting with the corrections. Any discussion? Hearing none, all who approve, please let's have a roll call vote.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Aikens? Mr. Grayson?
Yes.
Dr. Jackson?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion carries.
Thank you so very much. So we have accepted the minutes of the April 21st meeting with the noted corrections. And Dr. Jackson will send those in writing so they can reflect it appropriately. Today's meeting, we have two action items. The first one is a resolution of the executive appointment of the dean of the law school. And I'm going to ask Dr. Massey if she would speak to that resolution and executive appointment of Dean Gilmore.
Yes, thank you so much. And I'm sorry that I'm half cut off, but I'm the computer that I usually use, I don't have. So it's my pleasure to present Ms. Angela Gilmore as the finalist for the David A. Clark School of the Law team. We had a national search led by a comprehensive committee of law school stakeholders. We engaged all constituencies within the David A. Clark School of Law community. Ms. Gilmore has been selected as the sole finalist for the position and is presented for board approval with the recommendations of myself and President Eddington. Ms. Gilmore's background is diverse in her intelligences, skill sets, and experiences across teaching, higher education administration, legal practice, and ABA accreditation position her well for success in leading a law school. Moreover, her time spent on the ground as the interim dean of the David A. Clark School of Law. And I want to just remind us that it's not been 2 years since Ms. Gilmore went through a national search for the interim position led by AGB interim search in the summer of 2024. Her time spent on the ground confirms both her readiness to lead the law school's unique charge and her unwavering commitment to success outcomes for the students, faculty, and staff, as well as the community partners served by and supported through the law school, speak volumes about her knowledge, her connections across the law legal education community, and the new partnerships that she has been building in the limited time that she's been on the ground. Her approach to addressing the ABA reaffirmation process only weeks after landing on the campus in July 2024, was swift and decisive and speaks volumes regarding her understanding of the work and its urgency, the community of resources available to support her in accomplishing that work, and her commitment to seeing excellence in outcomes through to completion. The law school self-study report was submitted timely and expertly detailed. Ms. Gilmore also masterfully led the law school's ABA site visit, engaging with an intentionality and comfort requisite to successfully leading the law school through sustained compliance toward necessary enhancements and growth. Just last week, the university received formal notification from the ABA that the David A. Clark School of Law remains an accredited law school. Ms. Gilmore meets the preferred qualifications for the job. She has the requisite degree. She is eligible for tenure award and import of her work for professor earned at Nova Southeastern University in 1998. She has a strong understanding of the comprehensive fiscal platform required to run a successful law school, including an intentional focus that she took on during her interim appointment of friend-raising as a precursor to targeted fundraising for the David A. Clark School of Law. She has a strong commitment to the HBCU Law School mission, and she has visionary clarity for the law school's next phase. Across her candidacy for the dean's role, Ms. Gilmore communicated in an exciting strategic direction for the law school, inclusive of metrics for student and faculty success outcomes, that includes expanded bar prep strategy. She added an assistant director. And she also entered into a contract with Helix to expand the bar prep resources available to schools and to include a prepaid bar prep course and the exam so that students are not having to front that cost and then be reimbursed, because that was a heavy lift for many of the students that we serve. She's been evaluating the grade curve. That's been a point of concern in the law school. She's started a research effort to look at the curve the level of curve that exists in the law school now, comparing that to outcomes on the bar and what the discrepancy across the two may signal to potential employers, but also to the ABA. And so is interested in convening a school-wide committee to look very extensively at what level of a curve best serves the law school's students and students at graduation, as they need to be engaged competitively for hire. She's also been very engaged with strategizing for how to raise the brand of the David A. Clark School of Law, and has begun to position students and student opportunity for competitions. Our students won the DC Cup, but there are more competitions that students can be in, and those competitions, as well as having an ability to tell potential employers that our students are engaged in the practice of law as students, helps to position them competitively for work beyond graduation, but it also raises the platform brand and ranking of the law school. She has, and her goal is to have the David A. Clark School of Law in the regaining its top 10 clinical education status. This composite of know-how, vision, and demonstrated commitment makes Ms. Gilmore the undeniable best fit for the role of the dean in the David A. Clark School of Law. And I can respond to any questions that you may have.
Before we ask any questions, Dr. Eddington, did you want to provide any additional overview information regarding Dean Gilmore?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. I had an opportunity to interview the three finalists for the role. And so one of the things I tried very hard to do was view the candidates through the lens of the interview process, right, separately from the fact that we had an interim candidate. And so we had a pool of highly qualified candidates. Each would be qualified as a leader for the law school. But I was particularly struck by the conversation I had with interim Dean Gilmore around several areas that Dr. Massey highlighted. One was she articulated a comprehensive vision for the future of UDC law, grounded in her expectations for continued prominence in the area of clinical excellence, strong focus and commitment to student outcomes, elevating the brand of UDC law, thinking deeply about how to broaden the integration of UDC law into the broader One UDC framework. It's clear from my engagement with her that she's a strategic thinker. She has a very deep understanding of not just the law school, but how to leverage the law school within the broader landscape of diversity, and particularly this local community, the law community. Those were my observations from the interviews. And then in addition to that, there were two other things that really speak to her potential as a permanent leader. One, again, Dr. Massey touched on this, it was the tremendous leadership she exhibited from the time she stepped foot on the campus and taken us through the ABA review process. I cannot overstate just what a heavy lift it was for a person coming in at the time she came in relative to the overall process. She rolled her sleeves up, galvanized the stakeholders in the school, and not only got us through the process, but got us through the process that Dr. Massey referenced. In good stead. Then you all heard me mention in the prior meeting, this is that second data point that was very encouraging to hear at the time, which is at the end of the visit, the ABA committee took Dr. Massey and I in a room, and in the politest way possible, literally said, you all would be foolish not to consider this person for hire. Not that that was the only reason, right? But I'm just providing some broad perspective to the board members. But this I feel very comfortable that she's the best candidate for us at this time. So I appreciate you all's thoughtful consideration of the recommendation. Look forward to the discussion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much, Dr. Eddington and Dr. Massey, for this very rich, thorough, and in-depth summation of who Dean Gilmore is. And it seems like she cares for this university, she cares for the students. So at this time, the chair will entertain a motion pertaining to the executive appointment of Angela Gilmore as a dean of the David A. Clark School of Law. Is there a motion?
Chair Roy, may I make a statement before we do the motion?
Sure.
I just want to be able to share, as a graduate of the law school, my first personal meeting with Dean Gilmore occurred shortly after we had our initial alumni town hall that brought together alumni, students, faculty, and others to discuss the university. The concerns and issues raised during that meeting led me to request a conversation with Dean Gilmore, and she gracefully accepted. What impressed me most with her response, while her demeanor may seem quiet and measured, it should not be mistaken for weakness. I found Dean Gilmore to be strong, principled, mission-driven, who's a leader who is fiercely committed to the success of the students, faculty, and institution. During the conversation, she demonstrated courage and conviction. As an interim dean, sometimes you may be hesitant, but she was able to share her perspectives and the reality that could easily have exposed her to criticism, but she remained focused on what she believed was the best for the law school. Since that time, I have attended numerous law school programs and have consistently observed Dean Gilmore. She was able to encourage students through my observation when she talked to the faculty, staff, and students, and stakeholders. I'm also aware that some alumni have expressed concerns regarding her engagement, and others have questions whether faculty influence may limit her effectiveness. While I respect those viewpoints, my experience has led me to a different conclusion. I believe Dean Gilmore will exceed expectations. Her leadership has already guided UDC through some accreditation issues, that she was successfully able to do that. Equally and more importantly, she possesses a clear vision for the future of the law school that honors the legacy of the founding principles of Gene Kemper Kahn and Edgar Kahn, while positioning the institution for continued growth and excellence. As the law school moves forward, I am particularly encouraged by her commitment to strengthen student outcomes, including continued efforts to improve bar passage and enhance overall student experience. And based on my personal interactions and observations, I am confident in her leadership and fully support her appointment. And with that, I move that we accept the resolution for the executive appointment of the Dean of the Law School for Dean Angela Gilmore.
You have the motion. Is there a second? Okay, I saw Warner's hand, but we're in the middle of the motion. That it's been moved and probably seconded that we accept the resolution for the executive appointment of Angela Gilmore as Dean of the David A. Clark School of Law. Are you ready for the vote?
Discussion follows next, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry, your hand is up. Would you like discussion?
Yeah, discussion. Seconded, then discussion.
Yes, I said it's been moved and seconded. Now discussion, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I don't know why my camera's not on, but nevertheless. I just wanted to join add my voice to what Dr. Jackson and President Eddington said. I really appreciate the color commentary that Dr. Jackson gave, because she is a beneficiary of product of the law school, so that's meaningful. When I first became chair last year, one of my first visits was with Dean Gilmore, and I just want to echo all the characteristics that Dr. Jackson just enumerated, and I was favorably impressed and wholeheartedly endorsed her in the permanent law school.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mrs. Cameron. Any more discussion before I call for the vote? Hearing none, Ms. Joyner, will you roll call vote, please?
Vote. Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Akins?
Yes.
Mr. Grayson?
Yes.
Dr. Jackson?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion carries.
Thank you so very much. And Dr. Jackson, I really appreciate your comments that you made about the dean. It was so thoughtful, and it spoke volumes about who she is as a person. It also spoke volumes about her reaction with students as well as alumni. So, Dr. Massey and Dr. Eddington, I think we're getting a jewel with Dean Gilmore becoming the permanent dean of the law school. One of the things in my discussion on getting ready for this meeting, I was very, very pleased with the fact that she has established a relationship with the ABA, having worked there. And my question to one of the administrators, I wonder how she's going to leverage that relationship. And based on comments that Dr. Massey shared and her overview of who Dean Gilmore is, I clearly see that she started already making some connections to benefit our students. So let's just applaud her, and I'm sure that the full board will accept this resolution and make her the permanent dean. Our next item for action is the resolution of the student health insurance by Edna, and I think Dr. Littlebear is going to speak about that.
I am. Good afternoon, trustees.
Good afternoon.
So what's before you today is a resolution to change companies for our student health insurance plan. And the reason we are seeking to change companies is because our former, United Healthcare, the current insurer, is seeking to raise our student premium by more than $600, which would take us from what is currently charged at $1,593 to $2,193, so $2,193. So we had to go back and have our insurance broker shop the market to see if we could find a cheaper health plan. And in this case, it is Aetna. Aetna, what is great about this is that the Aetna plan will result in about $25,000 savings for the institute for students as it relates to the health insurance. With this plan, under United Healthcare, vision and dental were optional coverages that students had to pay extra money for. With the Aetna plan, vision is included, so any student who chooses to use the student health plan offered by the university will automatically have medical and vision coverage. Dental does remain a separate charge. The Aetna plan is consistent with what the coverages that we currently have under United Healthcare. So students will experience minimal disruption to the services and benefits that they currently receive. And as it relates to the new cost is slightly cheaper than what students are currently paying. And so for us, what this means by comparison to universities in the DMV, Coppin State, Trinity, Howard, Morgan, American, George Mason, George Washington, and Georgetown, we are the second lowest. Only one institution will have coverage that has a premium that is cheaper than UDC. So we remain competitive in what we're offering compared to other institutions, and our students are still receiving great health care. So again, the resolution before you today is simply to provide a better benefit to our students with cheaper health insurance, but no reduction in coverage.
Thank you, Dr. Littlebear. Mr. Franklin, is there anything you would like to add to that informational overview?
The only thing I would like to add is that I would like to commend Dr. Littleberry and her team for the due diligence and the efforts in terms of really and truly putting our students at the forefront. As we know, in the United States, health insurance coverage has gone up tremendously. And the fact that she's been able to get a reduction while maintaining even encouraging our students to participate in this program, it's tremendous effort to her and her team. I want to just say kudos because, again, it's not an easy task. Everything is going up, and the fact that she's been able to negotiate this deal on behalf of UDC students, our primary resource, is tremendous, and I just want to applaud her and her team. So thank you very much.
And I like to say, as a business owner with healthcare, health insurance premium rising, I'd like to see if I can talk to your broker and see if my health insurance premium's down, because I tell you, it's killing us. Any other comments before the chair entertains a motion to accept Edna as the new health insurance coverage for the student health insurance?
Madam Chair, can I ask that one question?
Sure.
Thank you. And this is to Dr. Littleberry and to Franklin. How much time, what is the plan to let the student population know that they're switching, that there'll be no change in services, and to be able to let their parents as well know that, you know, you guys have made this great choice with this better plan? Have you considered that at all and what that looks like?
Sure. Thank you for the question, Trustee Grayson. So the insurance, we work closely with the insurance company to market this information to our students. We've already begun just, you know, preliminarily as we wait on, you know, waited for today and even the board meeting to finalize things. We've already begun talking with the insurance company about what this will look like and how we will market this information, giving a little bit of extra time. I will say that once we receive, if we receive approval today and then final approval at the board meeting on Wednesday, then this process has to go be made public. And Avis will tell me if I'm not saying it correctly, but it has to go through rulemaking, so it will be advertised where we can put it out and receive public comment before it becomes final.
Thank you so much. And to, I mentioned that we're going to be more specific with our motions today. And the motion that I'm looking to receive is to entertain a motion pertaining to the notice of proposed rulemaking amendments to DCMR Title 8B, Chapter 7, Section 728.9, listing miscellaneous student fees, student health insurance. That is a motion that we would like to entertain.
Madam Chair, would it be permissible just to say, so move that, because that's the exact verbiage.
Yes, because I did use a language that should be in the minutes. Yes. It's a move that we will entertain that motion for a vote. Is there a second?
Thank you,
Grace,
my second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll now have a roll call vote.
Dr. Rowe?
Yes.
Mr. Akins?
Yeah.
Mr. Grayson?
Yes.
Dr. Jackson?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes.
Thank you. Madam Chair, the motion carries.
Thank you so very much, trustees. And that ends the action item. Is there any other unfinished business for the operations committee today?
Madam Chair, I just want to say thank you for running such an effective, efficient meeting. And I'm going to get out of the way so we can actually leave at 30 minutes after and move that we adjourn.
Second.
Okay.
Bye.
Says second. I know there's no discussion, right? Roll call vote. All those in favor? Roll call.
Yes. Dr. Redd?
Yes.
Mr. Akins?
Yeah.
Mr. Grayson?
Yes.
Dr. Jackson?
Yes.
And Mr. Lopez?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you so much. And this closes our meeting. I want to thank the staff again for having prepared so that we can have an efficient meeting. And I thank you so very much. See you all on Wednesday for the board meeting.